Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody. Hour number two rolls along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is a beautiful day. Looking outside here at our Amherst studio, we've got the leaves changing colors. Like, it's that nice bit of fall here. I mean, it's late for us in Buffalo here, Josh, but you got that nice little bit of fall. The leaves are changing, the whole thing. And then it's what, going to be like 70 today? I'm in a hoodie and jeans, and I feel like it's going to be too warm for me.
Yeah, I wore jeans and like a light quarter zip this morning, and I walked out the door, and I'm like, this was a mistake.
Yeah, the quarter zip not needed, which is surprising.
Yeah, so I love it.
I had the same mistake. Mm-hmm. I wore jeans and a golf hoodie, and I was like, I should have worn shorts as soon as I walked out of the door. But it was too late, so I was just like, yeah.
But look, I get to go home before being all brainwashed by the weather.
That's the key. I get to go home first and change into shorts.
Right. Well, that's my thing. I change for the weather I'm going to leave work for.
That's fair, because it might actually be kind of colder. Like,
I mean, the sun now goes down at, 2:30. Yeah. I'm being mean, but, it goes down
early. No, you're not wrong. No,
I can see the sun doing the curve at that point.
Yeah, like the sun is already at its peak, I think.
But so when I leave it, like, you know, depending on the day, 7 or 8, it's dark.
Yeah.
And it could be cold. But, yeah, so I always dress for that. Zach Jones, Josh Mate here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. It is trade deadline day. Bills got in on that earlier, a few weeks ago, when they added Amari Cooper. Today we've had a few trades, but it's slowed down quite a bit. The last trade was made about an hour ago when the Cowboys, in my personal opinion, overpaid for wide receiver Jonathan Mingo from the Carolina Panthers, sending them a fourth-round pick, which feels incredibly weird when you remember DeAndre Hopkins was traded for a conditional fifth. But, to each their own. Good job, Jerry. I don't know. At some point, I feel like Steven should step in and go, Dad, I think it's time. But that's just me.
Hey, I think a lot of Cowboys fans would agree with you. I mean, it's funny at this point. I'll sit and laugh. It's great.
That's the worst part for me, Josh. I hate bad football. I mm-hmm. really do.
Cowboys bad football, though, is comedy.
See, it kind of is for me. I know you want to get to something here because the New Orleans Saints also bad football.
Good.
We'll get to there in a second.
You're
but
good.
For me, I have to get this point out from last night's game. And even for the Cowboys, I like it to a certain extent. I want good games, though. Mm-hmm. I want them to lose, but I want good games. I want to feel like the game is moving forward.
Lose in heartbreaking fashion.
Watching the two games, and I tweeted this last night, the two games I sat with the most this weekend was obviously Bills-Dolphins, and then last night's game, Tampa Bay and Kansas City. And both those games, I watched conservative coaching absolutely kill their teams. Watching Mike McDaniel multiple times not go for fourth downs and kick field goals against a Bills team that you've seen, due to you and other teams this year, that in the second half, they explode. And specifically with the Dolphins, they can start killing you at any moment, if not the entire game. So kicking field goals is a non-solution. It only hurts you. It is effectively a turnover. The Bills seeing 3 points go on the board instead of them going for fourth is a huge win, even if they won't admit it themselves. And watching that, just incredibly frustrating. And then, to be fair, and I heard Chris Brown say this on the broadcast, and I had to look it up because I was genuinely stunned. They're the worst fourth down team in the NFL. By quite a bit. I think their success rating is like below 20%. I think it's like 18.5. How, with all that speed and the offensive mind of Mike McDaniel, are you that bad on fourth down in the year of our Lord 2024 in the NFL? That is insanity.
Did we all jump the gun on Mike McDaniel a little bit? I mean, I think he still has that offensive mindset.
He has failed multiple tests in a row.
Yeah, he just kind of falls short a lot more than you really want him to at this stage in the game.
It's not even the falling short. I think the first big test he failed in terms of, like, being the offensive wizard mind, whatever you want to call it. And we brought this up. We brought it up last week talking about Miami. bringing in a backup quarterback and having your offense move to a somewhat similar level. You mm-hmm. see Kevin O'Connell's able to do it, and I mean, he's kind of doing it now with Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold has kind of shown you since his breakout to start this year, he's still Sam Darnold. You're not going to give him this amazing – I think teams will, but you shouldn't give him this amazing contract to get it done. Matt LaFleur. Jordan Love has gotten hurt a lot this year, and they keep going to Malik Willis, and it keeps working.
Yeah.
I mean, they lost to Detroit, but they keep winning games.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen other teams have to go to backup quarterbacks, and they're okay. Are they their perfect self? Absolutely not, but they're okay. Miami was unplayable.
Yeah, we're about to find out, too, if Dallas is going to do that. I mean, Cooper Rush
probably
is
not.
Probably not. Remember the last time Cooper Rush came in? It wasn't that bad.
Stud. And then last night's game, Todd Bowles. You are on the road. You are playing a significantly better team than yourself, and you're playing them well. Mm-hmm. You are moving the ball on offense without Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Baker Mayfield is playing a great game. Cade Otton is emerging as a star at the position over the last month. And you don't go for two after you score with 27 seconds left because of the wet conditions. Let's not forget either the calling the timeout to not take any more time off the clock
mm-hmm.
yeah. when you're on the 2 yard line.
It's just
unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I'm not a Tampa Bay fan. I'm not even necessarily, I like Baker Mayfield. I like watching him do well because I think he got burned bad by Cleveland. But watching that, come on. And this is where, I said this last night too, the amount of bad coaching in the NFL is astounding. And I know we all sit with McDermott probably too long. I mean, it's the nature of the beast. When it's your favorite team, you probably pay attention to your own team too much. You start picking out all the warts on your favorite sports franchises because that's the team you love, and I get it. But outside of like a few bad games where he clearly shelled up a little bit, he's been great at going on fourth down. He's a defensive guy. The Bills are a team you never really are worried that are, and if they don't, you're stunned by it. They now routinely will go for fourth and ones, fourth and twos. Is it because Josh Allen's their quarterback? Sure. If you got a weapon, use them.
That's something new this year, too. I mean, that has not been the Bills of years past, which I love to see. Because it's not only that it's working, but it shows that you're aggressive. It shows that you're ready to go out there and just take control of the game.
Do you mean going for fourth downs or using Josh as a weapon?
Well, both, but going for fourth downs more importantly.
Because fourth downs, since McDermott's gotten here, they've been aggressive.
There's times, though, where
he's shelled up. I'm not saying he's not, but he has never been somebody that is afraid to go for a fourth down.
Maybe it's just recency bias, but I'm thinking back to like the Philly game last year.
No, and that's what I mean.
That's the tough part.
He has had moments where he has shelled up.
You don't think about the fourth down tries because they do happen at a decent amount, but you think about the ones that don't work, or you think about the ones where, hey, why
it doesn't
go?
Yes, 100%.
And I think that is like still part of. Up to this point has been a problem, but this year has not really been an issue.
But man, that game frustrated the hell out of me. It really did, watching Tampa just go right down the field and then the timeout and then kicking the extra point. And I'm like, you left them 26 seconds and two timeouts. They just need a field goal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get it. For Bills fans, that scar tissue is never going to go away. But come on. That is ridiculous. And then again, the overtime thing, you are hoping and praying you win a coin flip.
Yeah,
that is insane.
I'm watching right now Baker's reaction to the coin toss. He just looks up to the sky. Just
like,
there it is. Yeah,
it is insane.
It's
and the constant
so frustrating.
It always feels like coaches are terrified they actually will lose their job the next day. That some of the callers that do call into post game shows will actually be right, and a coach is just randomly fired because of one bad decision.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're fired for a number of things. Dennis Allen, you can't lose seven straight and then lose to Carolina being the set. You can't. That's why you get fired, not because a one bad decision against a team that is clearly better than you and you had them on the ropes. But that will look poorly on you later.
Right. It does add to the problem. It's not just going to go away.
Oh, it frustrated me. Oh, it made me so, so mad that those were the two games I was sitting with. And I'm just like, what are we doing here?
Mm-hmm.
And it more frustrated me because one's considered, or I think you're right, he is losing his luster, is Mike McDaniel, this offensive genius. And the other guy's Todd Bowles, a defensive guy. But they're both, to me, making a very similar mistake. And it's just, again, we don't, for the most part, have to worry about the Bills with that. They are aggressive on fourth downs. They punish teams for making it fourth and one. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, right. It's one of the things where defensively the Bills have handled that problem. Like, they established the fact of, hey, if you go for it on fourth, you're probably not going to get it. So that's what makes these teams go into just, oh, okay, I'm just going to kick the field goal or I'm going to punt it away.
So bad. And for me, it's just, it's more of an indictment on McDaniel that they're the worst fourth down team in terms of percentage of success rate. It's just so bad. But another terrible team has, of course, been the Saints. And you've got an interesting thing that you've wanted to talk about here.
So we have some betting odds for the next Saints head coach. Nick Veronica from Channel 4 tweeted this out a little while ago. So there's some interesting names on this list. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Peyton Manning is listed on here at 100-1.
We are so back.
At the very bottom.
So back.
He is tied with odds with Brian Kelly, both at 100-1 to coach the Saints. Right above them at 50-1, Pete Carroll.
Why is Brian Kelly on the list?
Right.
Let's not act like Louisiana likes him. They tolerate him.
Right. Yeah. You also have Pete Carroll on here. You have Lincoln Riley, Nick Saban, Matt Nagy, Deion Sanders. Obviously, Cliff Kingsbury, you know, there right now is the offensive coordinator. Or no, I'm sorry, that's not him. Clint Kubiak is there. Same type of name. Sorry about that. Cliff Kingsbury, though, making his triumphant return to the NFL with the Saints. That'd be hilarious. But no, the interesting one is the top two.
The interesting? You mentioned Peyton Manning first!
Yeah, I know. But the interesting one is who's not number one and who is. Not number one is Ben Johnson. He's at 4-1 odds at number two.
Because he's not going to take the job.
Well,
they're going to offer it to him 100%. He's going to hang up the phone. He might even spit on his phone as a sign of disrespect.
At number one, we have Joe Brady, Bill's offensive coordinator, at 3-1 odds to become the Saints' next head coach. Obviously, it would happen in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
That might be interesting.
That might be a serious possibility for the sheer fact. I don't think Joe Brady, they're running a successful offense. I don't think he has done himself a ton of favors, though, in terms of being like, what we all sort of think will happen with Bill's offense coordinators is if they succeed, they're just going to walk into a head coaching opportunity.
Right, yeah.
Obviously, Ken Dorsey got fired, and now Joe Brady, I think, it's been a real mixed bag.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, for him, could be something of where I want to get a head coaching job, and they're offering it.
Who's Belichick not on that?
Or he is. He is. 14-1.
Oh, he's a little lower. Okay.
Yeah. Brian Flores is also on there, too. Interesting.
Yeah, no, I get that. The Minnesota defense has been spectacular. I told
Brian Flores is below Bill Belichick.
Okay. Well, no, I think because a lot of people just assume Bill Belichick is desperate to get back in the league, and so he'll do it.
There are just some of the names, though, I listed off. But
the lack of talent.
Yeah.
I think it's an ugly job to get. I feel like you are going to be sort of, you know, the last guy that gets a chair in musical chairs. You're like, I guess I'm the Saints head coach. I guess I got a Frankenstein monster this.
Let's say there are other teams next offseason that want to offer Joe Brady a head coaching position. This is probably the last one he takes. Same with Ben Johnson. Same with a lot of guys on this list. Guys that would take this, probably someone on here, Mike Vrabel. I think he would take this job. Just because of the fact of trying to get somewhere.
Vrabel would fit like a glove for the sheer fact that they would just be like, don't even worry about the cap. Whoever, we'll figure out the cap. You just build a culture.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot for the life of me figure out why Tennessee got rid of him.
Would Belichick take this job?
I feel like Belichick would take any job that gives him a GM role.
Ooh.
I don't think the Saints would do that, though. No, because I think they're going to keep Loomis.
Mm-hmm.
But I would not be surprised if Belichick took that. If it were to just full control, which wouldn't be that surprising. I mean, they are in a bad spot. That is a team that has refused to acknowledge that even retools are a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they are in one of the worst. I fully believe it is the worst head coaching opening, and that includes the Jets.
Yeah.
Because they are just in the worst financial spot, and there's really no talent. Even your young wide receiver in Chris Olave that you can maybe build around, I just don't know about the longevity of his career with how many concussions he keeps piling. And I feel for him, man.
That
hit against Carolina, I mean, my heart sank. Because he keeps picking up injuries. I just don't know about the longevity of his career. It's the worst head coaching opening. I mean, by quite a stretch. And then even this year, you're maybe getting a high pick on a bad quarterback class. So it's not even like you're sitting here going, oh, but at least we're going to, you know, for argument's sake, we're going to get Arch Manning.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Right.
No, you're going to get probably like Quinn Ewers, and you're going to be sitting there going, let's take an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman or what have you, and then hope to be bad next year. I just don't know if the Saints, because they've proven they really don't, I don't know if the Saints have the stomach to tear it down, be bad for 2 or 3 years, and then rise up again. Even though you're in a division, it's perfectly set up for that.
is perfectly set up for that. Carolina can't get out of its own way. Good for them. They won a game. They're still terrible. Tampa Bay is sort of built for the short term now with Baker Mayfield and Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. It's sort of a short term build. And honestly, so is Atlanta with Kirk Cousins. We don't know what Penix is going to look like once he gets slotted into the quarterback spot.
Right.
So if you're in New Orleans, yeah, be bad for two or three seasons. Go get somebody. Again, for argument's sake, Arch Manning, because it'd be a nice story. Archie to Arch, you know.
All right.
I mean, it took 6 decades, but we got there. And then go on from there. I don't think they have the stomach for it because they've shown they don't even believe in retools. They believe in let's just sign cheap free agents, go get Derek Carr and keep on keeping on. It's no.
Right.
You know, when Drew Brees retired, you had a talented lineup, but it was not built for sustainability. And they just keep pushing everything back and back and back. You got to pay that bill, though.
That's got to be on the ownership,
there's no
too,
dining,
right?
I mean, yeah, there's no dining and dashing in this.
Yeah,
you pay the bill.
And that's got to be on the ownership in terms of just being able to admit when it's over and when you're mm-hmm. ready to do a rebuild. I mean, this is the perfect time for them to do a rebuild, I think, because you're probably going to be in the top 5, maybe top 10 if you get lucky in some wins here, but probably going to be in the top 5 in the draft. You could take a quarterback, but you could also just take, I don't know.
The best player available.
A Travis Hunter.
Ooh, would he play in New Orleans?
Probably not. Deion is listed on here as potential next coach.
On him, though? Colorado.
Yeah.
Way to go. No, in all seriousness, like we kind of attacked him a lot, most of us, for the offseason because they were very vocal.
I did not like them coming into the season.
And it was a bad game to Nebraska, but outside of that, they've been very good this year. Good on them. It looks like Deion's building a program. I want to see a little bit more years of success, like past Drew Sanders.
Right, but
before
no,
I'm going to offer him a head coaching job in the NFL.
But see, that's the thing, is he's not going to do that. He's just absolutely not going to do that.
I don't know. I'm starting to move off my prediction of he's going to leave after this year. I'm starting to move off it a little.
Why?
Because I think actually they are building a good program.
They are, but he's going to want to just follow his son, which is fine, I guess. Also, a great business plan.
I don't think NFL teams are going to look at him and go, oh, yeah, you're definitely a success. Or even you're going to put butts in seats. I don't think that's how NFL teams are looking at it. Colorado did burn a lot of its, positivity points last mm-hmm. season and into this offseason. They're nice. They're fun. They're good. But you notice even if they've gotten good, they're not showing up on ESPN.
Right.
They're not showing up on Fox Sports. Like, they're less interesting now that they're winning. Mm-hmm. So I think it's sort of the same thing of like, they're not even going to be in the Big 12 championship. They'll probably play in a nice bowl game. If they get to 10 wins, it's awesome. They get to 9 wins. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to take some time. And, I heard Nick Saban's name on there. No.
Kirby Smart's also on here.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, granted, some of these guys are like way down on the list. Like Ron Rivera's there too.
I do wonder, actually, real quick on this. I actually do wonder, with the changing landscape of college football and having to attack the transfer portal and potentially losing like 25 of your players mm-hmm. every year and having to augment that with transfer portal and high school kids, I do wonder if Kirby Smart, who's already won multiple national titles, has done what he has done. Goes, you know what? I'm going to go to the NFL. The South loves me. I don't necessarily know if New Orleans does, but you know what? I've done my bit. I'm going to go there. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. My legacy is still secure. Look how all of us treat Nick Saban's 2 years in Miami. It's an afterthought. It barely gets a chapter in his book. Maybe not even. It'll probably get 2 paragraphs. It'll be like, he went there. He didn't get Drew Brees. He left. I mean, that's what the Miami Dolphins thing is going to be. You know, so I just they are the least interesting opening if I'm a head coaching prospect. And, you know, the main character of that is going to be Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator for Detroit. 100% is going to be the main guy. He's going to I joke, but he's going to look at that job and laugh. Look what he did this past offseason. He didn't take a job. And you look at the Washington one now and you go, oh, man, that may have actually been a miscue. You probably should have taken that. Their defense is pretty good. You would have had your pick of Jaden Daniels or Drake May at the time. And ultimately, I feel like either of them probably you feel pretty good about. Drake May is just playing with basically no talent on New Orleans while Jaden Daniels hit the ground running, and he's got some good talent as well. But, he's probably, it's a bit of a misfire, but it also sounds like he's looking at Chicago and Matty Eberflus is gone. There's no shot.
Oh, yeah.
There's no shot. They're waiting on that one. There's no shot. I mean, they get outcoached almost every game. And then you look around at the offense, too. It's a joke. Chicago is going to look at that and go, we need an offensive guy. I could totally imagine just the big trucks of money that, like, Jalen Ramsey used to show up in Jacksonville when he got his contract just rolls up to his house and is like, whatever you want. whatever you want.
I am.
You
want
to own half of Chicago? We got you.
I'm once again asking Ben Johnson to go to the Chicago Bears, so that way we can have the best revenge story twice a season between him and Dan Campbell.
I just want the NFC North to be like the coolest division.
They already kind of are. I mean, they kind of are pretty fun at this point. I mean, the Bears.
That's what I'm saying. Like, and
the Bears have fallen off a little bit, but the Packers and Vikings and Lions, like those three teams, have been amazing. The Lions are probably going to win the Super Bowl. Who would have thought that 2 years ago?
It's gonna be so cool.
Like that two. If you would have told me 2 or 3 years ago, hey, the Lions are going to win the Super Bowl in 2024, I would have laughed in your face.
Wait, because 2 years ago, it was like we just came off like a 2-win season. Are you serious?
Yeah, and 3 years ago, it was, weren't they on Hard Knocks?
Maybe on Hard Knocks. I just remember the video of Jared Goff's wife in his first season, like freaking out because they won their first game. It was like week 12. And it was like that's the Lions for you.
Yeah.
But I mean, now you look at them and they're amazing. But right. Like that division would be so cool. Ben Johnson, Chicago. Matt LaFleur in Green Bay. I'd love Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota.
And then Dan Campbell in Detroit.
And then Dan Campbell in Detroit, who
as
I
like
think
the defensive guru.
But well, he's an offensive guy.
Or well, not special teams. Sorry, not defensive.
But you'd have that there, and it'd just be like, this is a really cool division. And then I think most people know how I feel about J.J. McCarthy. I think he's gonna be awesome for Kevin O'Connell and everything they're doing there.
And if you get the right person in Chicago, I think Caleb Williams can definitely be something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that along with Roma Dunze, I just think they haven't, like you said, they've been outcoached. Every single game they've been in, they've been outcoached. And the Bears were fun to start the season, but they've kind of like fallen off a little bit here. They've lost their last two, so it's not great, but they do have the Patriots next, so you can get back in the win column there, probably.
you can get back in the win column there.
Hopefully.
For you. Drake May versus Caleb Williams. Must-watch TV.
Ooh,
there we go.
Interesting. I didn't think about that. Then you got the Packers.
Did you see that Drake May touchdown, by the way, the force
yes.
overtime?
Yes. Did you see number 74? I don't know who it is on the Patriots.
He was trying his best.
He was not. He was not doing anything.
For those that didn't see the play, this poor offensive lineman, like he was looking for anyone to block.
He will be named because it was atrocious.
It felt like he was looking for anyone to block and couldn't find anybody. And then everyone started attacking angles and he just couldn't get to anybody.
You can't have the name Michael Jordan and have a performance like that.
Of course it is. Oh no.
Michael Jordan, number 74 on the Patriots, was lost in space.
He was looking for anyone to block. I felt so bad. I'm like, this man wants to try. He wants to be a part of this.
He could have fallen back to where Drake May was and potentially blocked back there, but no, he stood his ground. He stood on the line of scrimmage and waited. And then three guys rushed at him and he just threw his hands up like, I don't know what to do.
And it's fair. That's fair.
And to me, yeah, that is fair. But you could have slowed down one of them. Like, try to get in their way. Like,
just pick your poison. It's like, I'm going to get one of them, but two of these guys are going to fly by me.
Yeah, try to pick the best-looking one, and then, like, you know.
Who looks the most dangerous?
Who looks the fastest?
Oh, boy. Drake May, though, forced overtime. Very, very Josh Allen-esque. Mm-hmm. Just, I'm going to scramble around, and then just out of nowhere, your jaw's on the floor, touchdown pass, Ramondre Stevenson, Quentin Morris this weekend. I think they've got somebody in Drake May. But they need a lot of help talent-wise. But I think they've got the quarterback. Now it's up to New England to not fail him, to not do what like the Chargers have done to Herbert, where it took to what, year 5-6 for them to finally get him a head coach worth anything?
Yeah, and even still, they're having problems. Like, the Chargers are better than usual, but they're still chargering.
It's the Harbaugh effect, man. I was saying in the offseason when they got him, I'm like, I don't love that. I thought it would take a little bit longer. You do have a limited shelf life, though, with Jim Harbaugh as your head coach. They've got about 5 years before he burns out his welcome with ownership, but I'm going to say it. I think they're going to be a playoff team this year.
Oh, I think so, too.
Be a playoff team for every year he's there.
Right now, they're in the second wild card spot, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at 5-3.
Yeah, they're dangerous, man. They are dangerous.
Mm-hmm. And they have, like...
Especially, I mean, you got Denver, Indy, Cincinnati, and the Jets are, I guess, would say the team's chasing you.
Denver's the...
Cincinnati's the one I'm worried about.
I would say Denver's up there, too, but Cincinnati definitely, because of the fact of, you know, they can turn it on as the season
LA
goes on.
Did beat Denver the first time around at Denver. The next time they'll get them Sunday, December 22nd at home. So... telling you, Chargers could be interesting. 803-0550, the number two call. We're going to switch to hockey as surprise last-minute addition. Paul Hamilton going to join the show after a quick timeout as the Sabres get ready to take on the Ottawa Senators later tonight from KeyBank Center. That's going to be a 6 p.m. pregame, Steve Foley Law pregame show, and a 7 p.m. puck drop. We'll get more on the Sabres coming up next. You're listening to WGR.